This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Wednesday, hump day, May 5th, 2021. I'm Gail King. That's Anthony Mason. That's Tony DeCoppo. We're ready to go. We begin with something that's not a game, a big change in the push to get Americans vaccinated with a focus on those who are so far unwilling to get the shot. President Biden now says he wants 70%, that's right, 70% of American adults to have gotten at least one shot by the 4th of July.
And the number is currently at just over 56%, so there is plenty of work to be done. Our lead national correspondent, David Begno, reports on the new measures to make it easier to get the shot, in particular in rural America.
This is your choice. It's life and death.
The plan has always been the same. Get as many shots into as many arms as possible. But with so many people now hesitating and demand way down, there is a new plan. Make getting the vaccine easier than ever by offering walk-in appointments at local pharmacies and expanding pop-up clinics.
Welcome back. This is your second dosage of Moderna.
Just like this FEMA-run site in Queen Anne's County, Maryland.
It's very important for people to have these mobile units. It's really a service for the community.
Ida Jeffries, who just got her second dose, says she knows a few people who are still on the fence about this.
As they see their friends and their neighbors doing things that they can no longer do and they're no longer accepted in the group, I think perhaps that might be the persuasion.
The Biden administration is also planning to work with more local doctors, who they believe will be key to breaking through that vaccine distrust in local communities. Dr. Stephen Lakey is the chief medical officer at a hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado, in the northern part of the state.
There are going to be a demographic that are going to be suspicious or have not heard the message from either, you know, national sources or from national news. And I think having that impact of having our local leaders in those rural environments is going to be critical.
Back in Maryland, vaccine administrator Cornell Candidate says some people have been able to overcome their vaccine hesitancy.
They're doing it for their loved ones, which, you know, that's huge when you're thinking beyond yourself.
People like Tricia and Thomas Stokes, who are expecting a baby.
Hopefully my baby's protected.
That's what we're doing it for. Yeah. For our kids and, you know, obviously people around us.
And the next step, vaccinating teenagers. As early as the end of this week, Pfizer is expected to request emergency approval to start giving the vaccine to kids ages 12 to 15. Biden administration says as soon as that happens, they'll be ready to go. And as early as this fall, Anthony, Pfizer's expected to request approval to start giving the vaccine to kids as young as 2.
All right, David, thank you. We're joined now by CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky. Dr. Walensky, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
As we heard David reporting, given the vaccine hesitancy out there, how do you reach 70% vaccination rate by July 4th? How are you going to make that happen?
Good morning. Yeah, we are really enthusiastic about the progress we've made to date, having vaccinated 40% of the population over the age of 18. And what we know now is we have to do the hard work of reaching the people where they are. So that means, as you noted, having more pop-up clinics, having more mobile clinics, having more walk-ins available. So it's very convenient for people to be able to get the vaccine. We know now that we have vaccine available to 90% of the population within 5 miles of where they live. But we need to actually do more than that, because some people can't get to 5 miles. We have resources heading to community-based organizations so that we can get people in their communities where they are. We're going to rural clinics, over 4,500 rural clinics, to make sure that we can get to the more remote areas. Again, we need to make it convenient. We need to have trusted messengers delivering the message. We need to have it in physicians' offices, again, more trusted messengers.
We've made a big deal about reaching reaching herd immunity. It looks unlikely that we'll reach a number that high. Does that matter?
You know, my goal is not a specific number. My goal is to make sure that every American knows that getting vaccinated is safe, it's effective, it protects you, it protects your family. The more people we have vaccinated, the less disease we'll have in the communities and the safer we will all be.
If we don't reach herd immunity, is it more likely the variants will spread and we'll get a resurgence?
I think the fewer people that are vaccinated, the more disease will be out there. And with that, we have more virus replicating. The more virus that replicates, the more likely we will have variants. So again, more people vaccinated, less disease, less variants.
You relaxed the mask mandate recently, telling folks who are vaccinated they can go outside without wearing a mask unless they're in big groups. How long before we relax the mask mandate entirely, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I've been really enthusiastic about relaxing restrictions as we see more and more signs of people getting vaccinated. That relaxation of the mask mandate outdoors was our third release of guidance for what happens when you get vaccinated. What we're watching now is the population rates of vaccination and the disease rates, watching them come down. And as soon as we're feeling more comfortable with both increased vaccination and decreased disease, we'll look forward to another release of relaxed restrictions.
Dr. Walensky, I want to ask you about a new book called Premonition by Michael Lewis, who was on this show yesterday, and who was quite critical in that book about what he calls institutionalized cowardice within federal health, among federal health officials during the pandemic, and particularly critical of the CDC, which he said had operated out of fear in the pandemic. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I think we have many lessons that we can learn over this pandemic over the last year. The first thing I will say is I'm feeling extraordinarily honored to serve as the director of the CDC and thousands of people who have dedicated their life to science and to public health. Those people are still here. They did not have all of the voice that they wanted this past year. And what I've been doing is working hard to make sure that they know that the science matters, that we're going to convey the science, and we're going to do that moving forward. And then I also think another lesson to be learned is that we had a pretty frail public health infrastructure at the outset. We were never prepared in this country to conquer this pandemic the way it has hit us. We've lost 56,000 public health jobs just in the last decade during a time where we had H1N1, Ebola, Zika, and now COVID-19. We need to bolster our public health infrastructure to be prepared.
All right. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, thanks so much for being with us this morning. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Now to Minneapolis, where the attorney for Derek Chauvin has filed a motion for a new trial after Chauvin's conviction for the murder of George Floyd. This comes amid a separate controversy over a photo of one of the jurors, Brandon Mitchell, wearing a T-shirt that says, "Get your knee off our necks." Mitchell spoke to CBS This Morning, you'll recall, after the trial. And our Jeff Begays reports now on what this could mean for the case.
Derek Chauvin wants a new trial. His attorney, Eric Nelson, cited various factors in a motion filed Tuesday, among them jury misconduct, but it doesn't specifically mention juror 52, Brandon Mitchell. This week, controversy began surrounding this photo of Mitchell at a rally last August for the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington. In it, he's seen wearing a Black Lives Matter hat and a shirt bearing the title of the rally, "Get Your Knee Off Our Necks," to bring awareness to police brutality.
Either way, I was going to D.C. for this event, even if George Floyd was still alive.
Mitchell told our CBS station WCCO the death of George Floyd had nothing to do with his reasons for attending the March on Washington, which was announced after Floyd's death.
And that march is focused on voter registration and things like that during an election year.
Nelson is asking the judge for a Swartz hearing, a procedure where jurors are recalled and questioned about potential misconduct. If granted, Mitchell's answers could result in a mistrial.
Whether it's misconduct, that's another level, but they're clearly was a failure to disclose.
Minnesota criminal defense attorney Joe Tamburino, who is not affiliated with the case, said Nelson could argue that Mitchell withheld information during jury selection.
They're going to say, look, we didn't have this information because if we had it, we might have removed Mr. Mitchell.
During jury questioning back in March, Mitchell told the court that he viewed the Black Lives Matter movement favorably.
People of black, you know, it's pigment, their lives matter. It's just a statement.
Mitchell told the Star Tribune Monday that in a pre-selection questionnaire, he responded no to the following questions. Did you or someone close to you participate in any of the demonstrations or marches against police brutality that took place in Minneapolis after George Floyd's death? And other than what you have already described above, have you or anyone close to you participated in protests about police use of force or police brutality? And so now the judge will decide on the motion for a new trial based on Mitchell's actions and other alleged errors in this case. Some of these issues were hammered out during the trial, including change of venue and motion to sequester the jury. The Minnesota Attorney General's office issued a statement saying the court has already rejected many of these arguments and the state will vigorously oppose them. Chauvin's sentencing is scheduled for June 25th. Tony.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Well, Mitchell did disclose that he had a favorable view of the Black Lives Matter movement, so him wearing a T-shirt doesn't really surprise anyone. However, it will come up in Nelson's counterargument.
Yeah, he didn't try to hide that. I could see why it's raising questions, but I also think he was very forthcoming in how he felt. And when we had him here, he said he felt no outside pressure to reach the verdict that he did, that they looked at the evidence, that they were all in agreement. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And also the Minnesota Attorney General has made it clear that many of the issues that have been raised have already been addressed in this particular case.
We'll see what the judge says.
Yes, it'll be very interesting to see. Thank you, Jeff Gaze. We are seeing a revolt by House Republicans against their number three leader in the House. That's Congresswoman Liz Cheney. She's daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. She is under fire big time from GOP members for opposing former President Trump. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy was overheard yesterday suggesting that he no longer supports her. In fact, his words were, "I've had it with her." Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill covering this story. Nicole, why is this happening now?
Well, Gail, these tensions have been building for months over former President Trump's role in the Republican Party. Just this week, GOP conference chair Liz Cheney blasted the former president over his claim that the 2020 election result was a big lie. She also voted to impeach him after the insurrection. Leader McCarthy has defended Mr. Trump and visited him at Mar-a-Lago earlier this year. He said members are concerned about her ability to carry out her job and the party's message if they want to win the majority next year. In a hot mic moment, he went further.
I think she's got real problems. I've had it with her. It's, you know, I've lost confidence.
A Cheney spokesperson tells CBS News this is about whether the Republican Party is going to perpetuate lies about the 2020 election and attempt to whitewash what happened on January 6th. Liz will not do that. Some GOP lawmakers are already pushing for New York Congresswoman and Trump ally Elise Stefanik to take over Cheney's position in House Republican leadership. A vote to replace Cheney could happen as early as next week. If she is ousted, it would send a clear signal about the direction of the Republican Party and how far it's willing to go to back the former president and his false claims, which many GOP voters still support. Anthony?
Nicole Killian at the Capitol. Thanks, Nicole. A third day of intense storms brought more tornadoes, wind damage, and major flooding to the south yesterday. A confirmed tornado near Jackson, Mississippi, blew off roofs and down trees and power lines. The National Weather Service reports five tornadoes spinning through the South and Mid-Atlantic yesterday. In Birmingham, Alabama, heavy flooding led to water rescues. Dozens had to flee an apartment complex to escape the rising water. Fortunately, everyone got out safe.
Taliban fighters reportedly captured a district in northern Afghanistan this morning. It's part of an offensive against Afghan forces in more than 20 provinces as U.S. troops start to leave the country for good. Charlie Daggett spoke to Afghanistan's number two leader, who says the U.S. made fundamental errors ahead of the pullout.
A huge surge in violence across the country has proved Taliban militants were never going to honor U.S. assurances to hold back attacks. For First Vice President Amrullah Saleh, it's self-evident.
Taliban are terrorists.
And?
Simple.
Do you trust the Taliban?
No.
At all?
No.
He said it was a mistake for America to negotiate with the Taliban in the first place. And President Biden's justification for the pullout.
We degraded the terrorist threat of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
He says that was misguided, too.
The whole idea of coming to Afghanistan was to to teach a lesson to terrorists, their allies. Don't do it again. Have we taught them that lesson? No.
Saleh says his soldiers have killed or captured dozens of al-Qaeda fighters in the last few days alone.
Taliban operate shoulder to shoulder with al-Qaeda today.
He survived several assassination attempts, including when a suicide bomber and gunman killed 20 people in an attack on his office. With the withdrawal of U.S. forces and NATO allies, Saleh knows Afghanistan faces a dangerous few months ahead, but says if there's any hope of peace, the Taliban need to stop waging war.
At the end of the day, Taliban cannot subdue Afghanistan through the barrel of the gun. They can kill people. They are killing people every day. But if they are waiting for a moment of surrender from the Afghan people, it won't come.
The vice president started by saying he was grateful to America for the lives lost here and the vast amount of money spent. But in his words, he said we need the U.S. to remain engaged diplomatically, economically, and strategically. Tony?
It's a powerful interview there with the vice president of Afghanistan. Charlie, thank you very much coming to us from Kabul.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm excited to announce season 4 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I've got a whole new bunch of stories to share with you about the most fascinating people and things who are no longer with us. From famous figures who died on the very same day to the things I wish would die, like buffets. Listen to Mobituaries with Mo Rocca on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.